You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
My daughter Gianna, she loves to play, so her and I will go out and shoot often. She has it all mapped out in her head already. You know, things change when you're kids, obviously, but she's like, I'm going to go to high school, I'm going to win state championships, and then I'm going to go to University of UConn, and I'm going to play for Geno. She has her Husky shirts, and she does not take those things off.
Breaking news, very sad news to tell the sports world. The LA Times is reporting that retired Los Angeles Lakers basketball star Kobe Bryant has been killed in a helicopter crash.
And this is just shocking news for all of us. Sorry, I don't have a lot to say. I just can't. I have to go talk to a team before a game and tell them to play.
We all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons. It's just a tragic thing that there are no words that can describe how everybody feels about it.
Kobe, thank you, man. Thank you for all the memories. We got a lot of good ones. And these tears that we're crying, we're going to miss you.
And now, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Bittersweet day. Obviously a tragic loss of life. Kobe Bryant dead as a, I've heard 41 and 42.
41. I think he was going to be 42 in the summer.
And his 13-year-old daughter. Along with seven other individuals, passing away over the weekend. That in the backdrop of what is a great celebration here in Kansas City, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. I find it interesting. I don't know if interesting is the right word. I don't know what the right word is. The outpouring of emotion speaks to how Kobe Bryant moved a lot of people in and around the basketball world. I think it is, you know, certainly a tragedy that, you know, anyone passing away, an untimely death, but 13-year-old daughter, you know, just a horrible, horrible situation. But I am amazed at, you know, the outpouring of emotion. I really am. And I guess it's because, listen, I grew up a Laker fan, and I, you know, and I've heard that somebody got suspended at the Washington Post for putting a link to an older story that had to deal with his issues in Colorado where he was accused of rape, and they suspended the writer. Is that correct for the Washington Post?
Yeah, she retweeted a link to those stories. Wasn't her story, but she retweeted a link to it.
Yeah, and listen, I am amazed at how that part of his life is. I get it when someone passes; they're not there to defend themselves, so why bring it up then? It's just to me, he was always. I guess I didn't realize how universally, and I think it's amazing how universally beloved he was by everyone in and around the NBA. Because I found him, I thought he was a little bit more polarizing than that. With whether it was, you know, fans of the team or just, you know, some of his past transgressions. But, you know, that has not been the case. It's been an amazing, and I think, you know, when you die young, that happens. You know, it is a tragic situation, and I think that's where the focus is. I will say this. I am amazed, and I think this speaks to, I'll call it a mob mentality, or maybe it's a over-the-top mentality, or I gotta go one more. Mentality, talking about, I read this story, talking about changing the logo of the NBA to Kobe Bryant. No.
Yeah, I have not heard anyone of any level of importance.
Well, I read a story that's like there's a campaign for that, you know, but just, I mean.
If the logo's changed to anybody, it should be Jordan.
Yes.
I mean, he's the one guy.
Yes.
But it's probably not going to happen.
And if it's not him, then it's LeBron.
Right.
Okay, and then you're just not messing with it.
No.
But yeah, a horrible, horrible tragedy. You know, in a helicopter accident that seemingly, I don't know, could it have been prevented? I don't know. We have audio of the pilot. Mm-hmm. You know, there are aviation websites friend of ours who's a pilot connect us with it. This is actually the first voice you'll hear, correct, is the pilot. Is that right? I'm asking you. You cut
yes.
it.
Yeah, I do, but I got it. I'm going to make sure we have the cut ready to go.
Oh.
That's my fault.
Okay.
If it's a 57-second thing with some chunks in between.
That's it.
Hey, nailed it.
Sorry.
The first voice we're going to hear is the pilot, correct?
Yes. Sorry.
So you hear the pilot, who's clearly calm
mm-hmm.
at this time, and you're going to hear, what is it, VFR? Is that right?
Yeah.
Which is basically a term for, you know, visual flying regulations or restrictions. Basically, you're flying by sight because it's cloudy and foggy and whatnot. And you're going to hear this quick back and forth. This is the very end of a piece that we listened to. It's about 5 minutes long. And, you know, you can tell that there doesn't seem to be any panic in this situation. And then there's no response. You hear one kind of crack of the radio, which I wonder is if that is the radio turning off as the helicopter crashes or what have you. But this is the pilot of the helicopter talking to the different ground controls along its route.
Tower 42 Echo, X-ray. Can we start, go ahead and start turning to the southwest course to 1-1?
Helicopter 2 Echo, X-ray. Approved. And are you transitioning in VFR condition?
VFR condition 1,500 to Echo.
Helicopter 2 Echo, X-ray. Thank you. Contact SoCal now 134.2 for flight following 34-2.
34-2.
X-ray ident. So X-ray, yeah, you're on a 1200 code. Are you requesting flight following? Two Echo X-ray, what do you say intentions? Two Echo X-ray, you're still too low level for flight following at this time. Two Echo X-ray, SoCal.
That is at that point, and this comes with a video of the radar screen, and the helicopter is no longer on the radar.
Yeah,
like when he says that name the second time, it is not on the radar. So, you know, you could tell it seemed like it was just a routine flight,
yeah.
And somewhere along the way, they lost the visual, and
they were passing him from one jurisdiction to another. You could tell different voices were mm-hmm. talking to him. Okay, now you're going to pick up so and so, and they were going to transfer now SoCal. You have him, and
yes,
he reached
SoCal
out for
airport.
Him, and he wasn't there.
And he wasn't there. So just a horrible, horrible tragedy. And I think, you know, the reality is he is all of his history, but guy that touched a lot of people. You know, I always said I was never the biggest Kobe Bryant fan as a Laker fan. I wasn't a fan of transgressions. Let's put it that way. Made it difficult for me to be a fan of his. We've talked about this with you know, Tiger Woods as well. Fan of his golf game. Don't care much for the guy, right? But, you know, a guy that was obviously one of the greatest players to ever live in the game. 5 championships. I don't know. Where would you say? What will his legacy be?
I think 5 rings is there, although, I mean, you could say, well, he won the first 3 rings probably because of Shaq, but people would say Shaq wouldn't have won those rings if not for Kobe.
Yeah, I think
it was the combination
they won it together.
Of the two.
I mean, they were on it. I mean,
and then he clearly won those, the last two that he played in 9 and 10 were clearly because of him. He was the lead guy. As somebody who played his ass off every night that he played yeah. through pain. We've heard the story about, you know, him blowing an AC, or he had Achilles injury and he limped to the foul line, hit 2 free throws, and, you know, I think that kind of thing. Just his intensity, his drive to be the best he could be. I saw a quote from him talking about when he was a rookie, his first couple of years, he came off the bench, and he had people, friends and family, and people saying, man, former coaches going, man, they're sticking to you got to be, you should be playing more, you should be starting. And he had to tell them, shut up.
No.
I'm not playing because I'm not good enough. And he used that motivation to become, and he kind of tried to pass that message along to others. I think it's his desire and drive and to be the absolute best he could possibly be on the court and beyond that seemed to be what I think he'll be remembered for, just that intensity and the consistency with which he played through 20 seasons.
As a basketball player, he got absolutely everything he possibly could out of his abilities.
For sure.
You know, I mean, I think those guys are rare in sports. You know, every aspect of his game he worked on. His workouts were legendary. Who was telling the story that there was a, you know, it was like, oh, it was
Gary Parrish last week talking about when they're in Vegas.
Said he was in Vegas and he was coming back to the hotel at 5 in the morning. And he goes, I don't think I was up to work out. He said, I think I was coming back. And everybody was talking about how Kobe Bryant's down in the gym working out. He was in Vegas away from basketball, yet he was up at 5 a.m. working out. Parrish is like, you know, here I am dragging myself in from a night out partying, and Kobe Bryant's already up at work and getting ready in the off season.
Yeah.
You know, in the off season, that's what he was doing. That's what it was. So one of the more relentless competitors, you know, I think he desperately wanted that sixth championship to equal Michael Jordan.
For sure.
Probably wanted the seventh, even more.
And he of the 3-2, he lost. They were in the finals 3 straight years. They lost the first year to that great 08 Celtic team. So he had a hard time getting to that third one. He'd have had to go on 4 straight years to make it 3-3, as Jordan did. But just that drive. And when he was in his prime, and they were good, that 09 and 10 Laker team, just his ability to take over games and just almost not single-handedly, but he was – awesome in the games where they had to close things out. I mean, 30, 35, and just when it came the moment to win the game, he more often than not won the game. And unlike few players who have ever played.
Yeah. It's impressive. The body of work that he did and tragic that, you know, gone at the age of 41. And the thing that I think is so sad, it's, you know, obviously the child.
Video of the two of them sitting courtside.
Yeah, but the fact that, you know, that it was a family outing, you know, headed to go play basketball, her basketball games, just unbelievably sad. So, left a legacy that obviously touched a lot of people. And, you know, around the basketball world, it's amazing. ESPN, it's pretty tough to top the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was scheduled to go on ESPN Radio last night at like 9:30 our time, and 9:30 rolls around, 9:35 rolls around, and finally I text the producer. I'm like, hey, dude, we still doing this? He's like, dude, I'm sorry. He goes, we have been on full 100% Kobe Bryant, and I forgot to give you a call. I said, hey, no worries, man. I know where you're coming from. I hear you. But, I mean, to just completely take over the sports landscape speaks to, number one, how big basketball is, how big the NBA is, and how big he was in it.
There were early reports that they were going to just bang the games yesterday. And by the reactions of some of the players that played in them, I know Kyrie Irving didn't play. And by the you heard Doc Rivers' voice.
Kyrie Irving doesn't play a lot.
Doesn't play a lot anyway, yeah, but wasn't even in the arena. But I mean, there were enough people talked about it that you know, gave you the idea that doing that would not have been a crazy thing to have done, a regular season Saturday. In February, that would not have been the worst thing in the world. A lot of players didn't want to play. You heard Doc Rivers in the open there, trying to, before their game, could barely, you know, keep it together, and they had a pretty good relationship in the same city. But it kind of shook. And it said that video of him and his daughter sitting side by side, and him pointing things out, and just on its face, that was a great video. And then you think about both of them are gone now,
right?
And just how. What she could have become, you know, that's she kind of gets lost to some degree in the shuffle because she wasn't a celebrity. She was the daughter of a celebrity. But, you know, she clearly had a bright future in 13.
Yeah.
Just over.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Blink of an eye.
Unbelievable. You know, I got a text. How do you hear about it? I got a text. Is this Kobe Bryant stuff true?
I did, too.
I'm like, well, this isn't good.
Yeah.
This is either, you know, death or... you know, arrest, right? Yeah. When somebody texts you that, you're like, let me look. And it was like 11 minutes after the story had broken. TMZ had it out for 11 minutes. It was like, whoa.
I knew it was real because my mom texted me, and all she does is watch CNN. So at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, definitely a factually accurate thing.
that we're on to, if mom's got it, it didn't come across on a fake Twitter account. But yeah, so tragic. I don't know what to say. I mean, I think people get caught up. That's where, like, you know, changing the logo or different things, you know, like, I think you get caught up in the emotion in the moment, and you need to keep it in perspective. It's a horrible tragedy. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, where the league goes from here, it gets up and moves on. And then I think it would have been, I don't know if it would have been appropriate or not. I mean, you know, to not play the games, but the league has to pick up and move forward. And so we will see what comes of it. But horrible news, and you just think about the family and the siblings and the mother and wife. Terrible, terrible. No way around it. No way around it.
Been with them since she was in high school.
Yeah.
Husband and daughter are gone. How do you? I mean, people go through tragedies every day. It's not to minimize anybody who's had people have had worse things that happened to them. But this is who we're talking about right now. And
they have a less than 1 year old.
Yeah, 6 month old.
Yeah.
6 month old and another daughter, and the three of them. Man, that's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Rough go. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Super Bowl. As you've heard, big contingent of ours already down there at the Super Bowl. Stephen St. John, Todd Lebo, Jason Anderson. We talk Chiefs football. We talk Chiefs and Niners. It is game week. Finally, it is here. We'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs next. 913-3-810-810. You can grab a phone line if you'd like in on the conversation. 913-3-810-810. You're in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
Thanks, Coach.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro, Curtis Siebold, Jed Marshall running the operation. Program proudly brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley-Davidson North. 9400 Northwest Prairie View Road. It's where we'll broadcast from tomorrow. Getaway day. Always a great time to get to Worth Harley-Davidson, no matter what the day is. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting live up at Worth Harley-Davidson. Motorcycles, best selection of bikes. Great time to go get the Harley of your dreams. And don't forget, they've got the bike nights, indoor bike nights. Rock and roll, and next one coming up on Thursday, the 30th. Whiskey Gym going to be there. Outlaw Gym, Whiskey Gym.
Benders, yeah.
I took the Whiskey Benders and put it with him. Outlaw Gym and the Whiskey Benders. I should look at it instead of just going by memory. But looking forward to being up at Worth Harley-Davidson North tomorrow. Is there anything we can take away from the game that these two teams played last year and say that can foretell how the game will go?
If I remember Kareem Hunt, he didn't have a huge
18
day
carries,
running the ball, but
44 yards.
Did score two touchdowns. That Patrick Mahomes against this defense, which was – I don't think they're missing any. Well, they did
Bosa.
Yeah. I forgot he was a rookie. That's a little different. But he had a field day, and they had no answer for the Chiefs' screen game in that game. I'd imagine you probably see some of that on Sunday to maybe try to offset the pass rush.
Wasn't that also the game where Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt?
No.
Was that 2 years
that
ago?
That was 2 years ago, right? Or no, is this when he went down?
They didn't. Nobody else threw a pass in that game. What was the game? There was a game where they played here that somebody got hurt at the end.
Was that Garoppolo? Was it this one? Was that the Garoppolo one? He was 20 of 30 for 251, two touchdowns and no interceptions.
Yeah, did he get hurt at the end? And they were, I mean, look at that. It might have been like he got hurt on their last
I think that's right. I think it is. Yeah. I think it is. He got hurt last year in that game. It is. Because I know they've played couple of times, haven't they? No, I mean, they wouldn't have played till 4 years before, so it has to have been that.
Yeah.
So it was that game that he got hurt in late in the game, running, scrambling around. 38-27 was the final. But when you look at it, you know, and listen, stats don't always tell the whole story, but remarkably even from a statistical standpoint, you know, I know the Chiefs won by double digits, but time of possession, 30-01. To 29-59.
Wow.
Chiefs had two more seconds time of possession. Total yards, Niners 406, Chiefs 384. The big number that stands out, that at least old school football people would tell you doesn't compute to the Chiefs winning the game, is the 178 yards rushing for the 49ers to just 77 for the Chiefs. That would seem to be the game plan that everyone would have for the 49ers in this Super Bowl, and they were effective in it but weren't able to win the game. Jimmy Garoppolo had a much better day than he's had in the postseason to this point, 20 of 30, couple of touchdowns.
Yeah. It's also not a game, when you look at how the scoring went, that would seem to suggest the team would run the ball well. 14-0 Chiefs. Halfway, or the late stages of the first quarter, and they stuck with it because that's seemingly what they were set to do, but they still managed to run for 178 yards.
Yeah,
six per carry.
I do think that, you know, the one thing that this tells me is the Chiefs played from in front, and how different would the game have been if they weren't able to get the traction they got early on. You mentioned 14-0 after the first quarter, and then piling up to 35-7, and then the rest is kind of so on. And the 49ers in the second half able to go up and down the field. A couple of things are different. One, Nick Bosa, this 49er defense is even better than it was last year. But this Chiefs defense is significantly better as well.
Yes,
A 35-7 lead is probably not going to end up being an 11-point game if the Chiefs are able to get that. But I do think that this was a game that really kind of speaks to what we've talked about a lot. What is the value of running the ball? It's huge if you can catch a lead.
Yeah.
Right? If you can take the lead, as we talked about with the Titans getting up 14-0 on the Ravens before Derrick Henry got going, then Derrick Henry was able to limit the possessions for the Ravens to try to get back into the game. That's the purpose it served, was slowing it down and taking your time, you know.
But if it's 14-3 Chiefs in the early stages of the second quarter, they may run the ball continually in San Francisco and may actually make some headway, but it's unlikely to dent the scoreboard much.
Am I not giving enough credit to Jimmy Garoppolo? Because I don't think he's that good.
No, I think you're probably assessing him accurately. I mean, he's had some games. He's had some standout games, but a lot of guys have standout games. I mean, he had what?
I'm going to look up what is the best game, the biggest game that Jimmy Garoppolo's ever had. Let's see here. What has he done? 424 against the Arizona Cardinals this year.
Mm-hmm.
34 of 45 for 424, four touchdowns and two INTs. He's had four 300-yard games and a 400-yard game in his career. I'm not overconfident in the standpoint that I think, boy, the Chiefs can't lose and it's going to be this tremendous tragedy if they do. That's not my view of it. I do think it's a losable game. I mean, or it's a winnable game for the 49ers. But I just see so many scenarios. I don't know. When I watch the championship games and how they finish, it's either a blowout one way or the other, or the best quarterback wins.
Yeah.
So if the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, they win.
And look at his three best games. When you combine passing yardage, touchdown, that type of game, he's got four games that seem to stand out. And they were against Arizona, New Orleans, Arizona, and Cincinnati. 424, 4-2 against the Cardinals. 349, 4-1 against the Saints. 317, 4-0 against the Cardinals.
And that was the Saints 2 years ago, yeah, that didn't have much of a defense.
And 296, 3-1 against the Bengals. Those are his four best games this season. And three of them were against trash teams, and one was against a good team that, you know, one game where they went back and forth. And if you want to assign that to the Saints, well, that's also the same game.
That Saints game is from, yeah, this year. I jumped a line when going across.
And that was 48-46. So if you want to say that game is, you know, the Saints were good, well, they also, that was the game that the Niners allowed 46 points. So that wasn't necessarily good for both sides in that. So, yeah, a lot of what his super games have been against less than great competition. And I'm sure Patrick Mahomes has those games too, if that's what you're supposed to do to bad teams. But we haven't seen him do it to a good team yet.
Right.
Not
right.
This year, at least.
I just I struggle to find the scenario that has the Niners pulling away.
Right. Just because it seems like the Chiefs, to do that, you'd have to keep the Chiefs in the teens, and no one seems to be able to come close to that right now.
So we're all anxious to get the game going, mm-hmm. right? I think we're all excited about that. But is anybody anxious about how it goes wrong? I'm not.
No.
And I think this is a new, I've heard some people talking about, well, you know, they're afraid of this or that. Or it's a new time. Like, we don't have to, and I'll quote Jack again, who called in after the comeback win against the Texans and said, we're now the other team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to make sure that we view ourselves and view our team that way. The Chiefs are now the team to be feared.
Right.
The Chiefs are the one that can come out and have a bad day and still take your heart away.
And if the last 2 weeks haven't gotten you past that point, I don't know. I guess you need one more win. I'm sure if they win at all, people will stop doing that. But I think the last 2 weeks, and I think maybe some negative fans will say, well, what if they get down 10 this time? Can they come back? What if they don't get down 10? What if they get up 10?
Right.
I mean, that's what the last 2 weeks have shown, is that this offense is playing at a level that few offenses ever have at this time of the year. And if they aren't down 10, if this game's a blowout, it's one way. If it's, you know, 35-14, this town's going to be happy because it's going to be the Chiefs that are winning that 35-14 game. I don't see a scenario where it's 35-14 49ers.
Yeah, no, I don't either. And I don't see the scenario where Jimmy Garoppolo beats Patrick Mahomes if it's a one-score game.
Correct.
I think Patrick Mahomes has the ability to get down the field in 32 seconds, and he has the ability to get down the field in 3.5. And I think I appreciate his ability so much because I think he is what I've always sat and watched, clock management, the clock management critique on Andy Reid, about, well, he can't handle the clock. And it's like, do you see Alex Smith running for 6 and 34 seconds coming off the clock on the 2-minute drill? Did you ever see that from Tom Brady or Dan Marino or John Elway? No. This kid doesn't do that.
No.
If he runs out of bounds and stops the clock.
And he seems to be as healthy as he's been at any point, certainly this season. Offensive line has given him good enough protection, and it seems like they've cracked the code to where it doesn't really matter what the defense decides to take away from them. They can take advantage of everything else.
I think this is one where the Chiefs, listen, I don't want to say they have to cash here, right? When anytime you get to the Super Bowl, you want to win, and mm-hmm. nobody's promised 9 trips, and take 2 out of 3 and we'll be thrilled, right? Like the Patriots getting 6 out of 9. Patrick Mahomes may only go 4 times, so let's get all 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Joe Montana only made it 4 times. He was, for a while there, considered the greatest quarterback that ever played. He went 4 times, and he cashed all 4 times. Listen, the future is very bright, but the cap is going to be real different.
Yeah.
So you really want to get one in the bank, because we've seen the Packers playing with Aaron Rodgers on an expensive contract, and they haven't gone back. So this is a big one.
cash while you can. And if you get 2 more down the road, hey, it's gravy.
And theoretically, they should be better equipped because Garoppolo is costing a lot of money to the Niners. 913-3810-810. Let's go to the phones. Ed, you lead us off today. You're on the program. Ed, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'll listen up here. But I guess my only deal is whether he's good or not, there's a lot of quarterbacks that only won one time. And I think you would have – I don't know. I can't speak for you. But maybe you would have said that about the same thing with Hostetler. Ripien.
Oh, I would. You're absolutely right.
It's a one shot deal.
Right.
We still haven't won between, you know, that. I'm a nervous damn wreck right now for the kickoff. Just get started, but you know, if the defense kicks their butts, that guy cannot beat us.
That's how I feel as well, Ed, and thank you for the call. I feel like, you know, my point is not that there's no scenario. I mean, I keep saying this. Yes, I think the spread is right at 1.5. I think the 49ers have earned that. And a 1.5-point spread is not a can't-lose situation for the Chiefs. I can give you a lot of scenarios and how the game can come to fruition and the Chiefs not win. But I don't see the 49ers winning a one-score game, right? That's where Jimmy Garoppolo would scare you, right? Last year, Tom Brady, like if the Chiefs lose the coin toss, is it over in this game? We knew it was over last year.
Yeah.
Lose the coin toss, you're like, there's no way they're going to stop Tom Brady.
Nope.
Does anybody have that kind of fear of Jimmy Garoppolo? I do not.
No.
And my confidence level with this defense is significantly higher. Significantly higher. So just, from that standpoint, yes, Joe Flacco has won a Super Bowl. Right? There are a handful of guys. Mark Rippon was having an MVP season. Whether it was just they were ahead of the curve, skill position wise, and new wrinkles to their offense that nobody caught up to that year. Mark Rippon was the league MVP. He is one of those guys you're like, that guy won a Super Bowl when you look at his career in totality.
Yeah.
That year he was playing like an MVP. Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing like an MVP this year.
No.
Yeah, he's not playing poorly, 28-12. But we know like the truly elite, the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's and the Drew Brees and the Patrick Mahomes and the Aaron Rodgers are now 5-6-1 TD to INT. It used to be you just wanted to throw more touchdowns than INTs. Then 2-1 became a good rule of thumb. The big boys are 4 or 5-1. And that means when he's got to go out and push it, and late in games where you give him the fourth down to convert, I'm not going to say he's unstoppable, but he gets real close. Real close. That doesn't translate with Jimmy Garoppolo. If they're running the ball, if they're playing from in front, if they've got a blindside sack on Mahomes and the ball's come loose and they've stolen a possession in a short field and the Chiefs are chasing and the 49ers can stick to the run, yes. But if the 49ers have to just drop back and sling it because there's 1:51 to go and they're down 4 or even down 3, wanting a touchdown but needing a field goal, I'm not worried about Jimmy Garoppolo.
And just real quick to correct you, he actually was 27-13, not 28-12, like you had said. So you credit him one TD to the good and one INT to the good.
And 13 interceptions is a lot today for a guy who only threw 27 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
That's my point. Is not where you want to be.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the minimum requirement to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, to be a guy that you're like not actively looking to replace.
He doesn't have the superlatives to say he's beyond a game manager, and a game manager didn't throw 13 picks.
Yeah,
with a running game like he's got behind him.
Could he get hot and have the game of his life? Yes, I suppose he could. Joe Flacco did it against Peyton Manning.
But if he does.
In an AFC playoff game. But I think more likely he plays the role of Jake Delhomme. He plays the role of – all I got to do is look at the Super Bowls that are out there where the Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Who else? Who else have been the
guys that have
Colin Kaepernick. I mean, guys that are not going to sniff the Hall of Fame that didn't get it done.
Right.
David Woodley.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the league, Craig Morton twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that to me is the role that Joe Flacco plays in this. Yes. The pumpkin may not, the carriage may not turn back into a pumpkin in the second or third quarter. I think more likely it does. And even early, Ben Roethlisberger's first Super Bowl was in spite of him. He was terrible.
Like 10-21. They won because they had a 75-yard touchdown run. And
that's another good one. Matt Hasselbeck.
Receivers throwing. Yeah, Matt
that's
Hasselbeck.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, those guys are on the wrong end.
Right.
913-3-810-810. Jam and Jeff, you're in the program. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good afternoon, Seren. Happy Super Bowl weekend.
Same to you, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. Seren, as I've been looking at this game, and we're all, drooling at the mouth, getting ready for it and everything, Seren, it occurred to me that there's a little bit of irony in this game. Let me explain real quick, if I may. Over the years, the Chiefs have obtained, via trade from the 49ers, 5 different quarterbacks, DeBerg, Gerbach, Bono, Alex Smith, and, of course, Joe Montana, okay? All starting quarterbacks because we could not go out and draft one. and develop one and have him start for the Chiefs. So here we come to this Super Bowl with our own quarterback. We drafted Andy Reid, developed him, and here we are. What did the 49ers come to this bowl game with? A quarterback that they went out and they had to trade with the good old Patriots from Belichick and Robert Kraft to get them a quarterback. I just find that, Saran, just ironic as hell. I really, really do.
I do, too. I think it's a great point, Jeff, and thank you for the call, buddy. The tables are turned. Let's just hope that it goes the way it always went for us.
Right.
This is where Garoppolo flops. This is where the scouted, drafted, developed,
and see, yeah, and
homegrown quarterback thrives.
And there's where the reflexively negative Chiefs fan will say, "See, I've seen it. This is it's going to flip around. I know it." And if they get down 10-0, it's going to happen again.
I think the 49ers defense is really good up front, but I think the secondary can be beat. I think that game, you know, I think the Chiefs can go up and down the field on them. If it gets into that kind of rhythm of a game, the way the Saints did. You know, you get a game that breaks out, and then it's, okay, the offensive approach becomes aggressive, and you start saying, well, we can't stop anyone, so we've got to go. And so you stay aggressive on the play calling. If the game takes off that way, then, I think the Chiefs can go up and down the field the way the Saints did. If it goes into conservative, that's a little scarier. I mean, if we're clearly not going to panic if it's 7-0 Niners, even if it's 14-0 Niners. We're going to be upset. We're going to be frustrated. But we've seen 24-0 and 10-0 in these playoffs, and it was not something that they couldn't overcome.
There is a feeling of how many times can you do this, regardless of who you're playing. But I don't think anybody's going to freak out.
I do think we need to be prepared, and one of the reasons why I think it's important for them to cash in this game is Kelsey's going to get old.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill will slow down and get older, you know. And Mecole Hardman is a great piece. We love Mecole Hardman in this town as the number three guy. I mean, at this point, he's kind of a feature piece. He's either in there to be a major decoy or he gets the ball. I mean, he does not have a lot of catches. When, you know, I know we're all ready to say, well, when Sammy Watkins goes, Mecole Hardman just bumps up there. Well, I mean, they'll take a hit. Now, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to make every wide receiver look pretty damn good. But, you know, right now they've got the cap room to have a lot of weapons for the guy. They've got weapons everywhere, save maybe running back, but I think that's maybe selling Damian Williams short. I think a healthy Damian Williams is a pretty effective back in the scheme that they want to run. And so I think he's a weapon as well. I think you would look for a running back in the draft, one that can maybe be a little bit more of a plow horse as far as just grinding out games when you get him up big. But he's done a decent job of that here of late.
Yeah.
You know, when it's been time to finish him off, he's done a good job of it. So, I don't know. I don't like being this confident, but I feel really, really good about their chances. Really good. And
it's like so good you do, as you're saying, you're kind of like, am I missing something here? What is going on? Someone tell me why I'm feeling so confident.
I don't think anybody's coming in and, you know, like I don't know, the Broncos look good going in against the Giants in 86 and completely
really
stink.
No.
I can't see that happening.
Game?
Oh, it was the route. It was the biggest.
No, I mean point spread.
Oh.
Who was
what the spread was in that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll look it up. 913-810-810. We will take a break. More of your phone calls. Joel, you'll be first up. When we come back, you're in the program.
The Program with Saran Petro.
Vulgarity is not really good. It's not a real strong part of anybody's vocabulary. It shouldn't be. But there's a time it's the best freaking way to explain yourself.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking Chiefs football. To get things started, we'll do some more of it with Tim Grunhardt, get his impressions of this game. He's coming up at 3 o'clock, 913-3-810-810. Let's go to Joel, waiting patiently. You're in the program, Joel. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Super Bowl week. I never thought I'd say
God.
That.
I know. Trust
it's
me.
Unbelievable.
Curtis and I have never been happier to work a 19th sixth day in our lives.
One thing I've been thinking about, and I don't think they've been getting enough credit here lately, is just how well our offensive line has been playing. I know that everybody's talking about San Francisco's front four and how they can get after Mahomes with just their front four, and that's going to be a big key. But I don't know. I don't know if they can.
Well,
I think that offensive line has been playing tremendous.
It has. The Titans do not have the kind of defensive line that puts a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, so I think they look better. You know, that's going to make any decent or good or very good offensive line look even better. The 49ers are the toughest front that you're going to see in the NFL. I mean, I think that's real, and I think that's why they're here. That's been at the core of their success has been their ability to win at the line of scrimmage. But they run into a guy in Patrick Mahomes that is the best in the league at neutralizing a rush. His ability to step up when it's time to step up, his ability to evade and get outside and then still make plays on the run is second to none. He's the best in the league at that, so nobody's more equipped to be able to handle that than Patrick Mahomes. And I go back to what Mike Vrabel said. You know, when I asked him about Mahomes running, that he's running better than he did the first time they saw him, and this was going into that game, and he said, you know, you do all these things and, you know, you cover people, and then all of a sudden he takes off and runs for a first down. He said it's really deflating was the word he used. And so I think that will be, you know, something to watch. Do the 49ers do everything they want to do, and he just scrambles around and makes a play. That kind of stuff where you know that, like, hey, they just went playground football at the end. And we got beat. We did everything we wanted to do on that snap of the ball, and he still beat us. I think that sucks the life right out of you, and I think we saw that happen to the Titans.
Well, it's nice, too, knowing that we've got Andy Reid putting together a game plan against these guys. I mean, nobody puts together a better game plan. And we're going against a guy who, last time he was in the Super Bowl as an OC, he lost a 28-3 lead. So, I mean, that's kind of got to kind of got a beat in the back of his mind a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I'd never put it all, and thank you for the call, Joel. I'd never put it all on the offensive coordinator, the head coach, even though I know he coached the defensive side of the ball there in Atlanta. But, you know, he's part of the equation as well. Did he say, hey, I'm not going to lose this game for a lack of being aggressive, and that's why they kept throwing and stopping the clock and doing those kind of things? You know, I don't know, but – Kyle Shanahan is universally respected around the league, and he's going to call – he should have a very good game plan, and he should call a good game. I don't know that he's got enough weaponry, and I don't know that he's got the quarterback to get it done. I think Andy Reid can call a great game, and you get 10 or 20% more just from having Patrick Mahomes, who makes things happen after it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. Instead of it just throwing away a play or throwing a pick when it's not there – the guy can make something happen. That's different. Alex, you're in the program. What's up, Alex?
Yeah, you know, you were saying now you don't think you should be that confident. I see no reason why we shouldn't. Our defense for the last, half the season has been playing outstanding. Our offense is, for lack of a better word, unstoppable. I mean, there's no reason that we shouldn't be confident
right
in the way that our team is playing.
So two things. One, are you popping popcorn?
Can I have some of that popcorn?
What was that again?
Are you popping popcorn right now?
No. I'm driving a truck.
Oh, really? Sounded like you were popping popcorn there. all right, that's number two. Listen, I am not saying we shouldn't be confident. I'm saying that I am so confident in when I try to evaluate this game and break it down that I'm asking myself, am I missing something? Am I just being a homer? Am I being overly confident? Because this is a good team, and Vegas has the spread at one for a reason. Hey, I'm with you, Alex. I'm the guy that said, you know, has repeated what Jack said when he called in, first call out of the shoot after the Texan game, and then thank you for the call, that, no, we are now, we have to learn to root for a team that's the favorite.
We're the heavy.
Yes. We have to root to learn for a team that's going to be the villain. If they win a championship this year, here moving forward, they become the villain. And that's fine. You know?
And if they win two?
It gets even more.
Yeah.
And we're going to
have that bullseye on your back.
We're going to have to learn to learn to deal with people who are, you know, starting to say, well, Patrick Mahomes is cocky or he's arrogant, or they'll begin to villainize him. I mean, but as it stands right now, the Chiefs are America's sweetheart. They're a team that hadn't been there in a long time. Everybody's rooting for Andy Reid to get the championship. So I think we are America's darling in this. And it's my team that I grew up rooting for and I've spent tons of money supporting. So I want it. I want it to be true. I'm just trying to ask myself, what am I missing? It is still a 1.5-point spread. I think if the game is close, though, where I hang my hat is if the game is close, then I don't think Garoppolo can beat Mahomes. I think from that standpoint, the Chiefs win. And I always like having the better quarterback.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right. How many times has a Super Bowl been played without a single turnover? Brought to you by Good Sense.